third down. Cutler going end zone, and he's got a touchdown. First catch, and it's for a score to Jeffrey.
If it happens, it happens. I mean, like I just told him, I just play football. I let my agent and Mr. Pace figure that out. I love the city of Chicago.
It's the future.
Down and distance.
On WGNRadio.com.
Speaking of the guys in front of him, you're talking about the position of guard. Does Kyle Long go back to guard? Because we know he's an all-pro guard. You think they leave him out there right tackle?
Well, when John Fox says he's a tackle, that's probably my best indicator. Or when he talked at the end of the season, and I think, you know, he'll go wherever he's told, which is what he did. He didn't want to go to tackle. But
give him some time next time to let him know.
Well, yeah, but yeah, by the way, you're starting, and by the way, you're blocking Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Good luck to you there, son.
I just think Kyle Long would make the game a lot easier for Grassu in his development if he had that guy next to
him. Well, that's true. And Matt Slauson, who was, I think, underrated.
Very, very underrated.
Kyle is the first guy to say, Matt's the guy I studied. Now, that there's two meat eaters at guard. Yeah. I mean, that's hard to break. And I know people like Olin Krutz said, you got an all-pro, you don't – okay, that's not – we don't need to fix that. No. Don't break it. And
let's be honest, though. There's – I don't know if even there's a handful of guys that when you look at Kyle, I think the expectations of Kyle just because of what he did inside and being a pro bowler, that he was just going to jump out and just be phenomenal – but he's one of these guys, he's a rare breed, that you give him time, and let's say you move him to left tackle, I believe in a little bit of time he is going to be the one of the best in the game once he gets time, because you don't find big guys that are that athletic and move their feet when he does move his feet. He's
6'6", 330 pounds, about 11, whatever percent body fat. But and position wise, I don't know that there's a real rush to move him, because I thought Charles Leno was, again, that's a guy who's in his first year really playing that position a lot, and he over for Bushrod.
Very well.
I thought he handled himself really well.
Yeah, he did.
And maybe he physically, he didn't look so good at right tackle in preseason, but I think it's interesting to kind of look sometimes at the Hall of Fame, not that that's relevant to Kyle Long yet, but I believe, I went and looked at this one point, most of the great defensive ends in the Hall of Fame were left defensive ends, not the LTs and the Bruce Smiths. Deacon Jones, I mean, going back a long time, Deacon Jones, Andy Robustelli, Gino Marchetti, Doug Atkins was a right end, but Reggie White. Point being, if I'm a coach, I want somebody protecting my quarterback's front side. I might put my better tackle, Bob Brown. You think about the tackles, the great tackles in the Hall of Fame. Ron Yeri, you get Bob Brown, Boomer. I'm taking off Forrest Gregg. Yeah. Way back then, Vince Lombardi put his better tackle at the right side, because I don't want that guy coming in my quarterback's face. Yeah, I want to protect his blind side.
Even now with Tom Bahali and Von Miller coming from that front side. Yeah,
yeah, I don't want those guys, because that quarterback can see them coming. That's not a good thing.
We know, though. We know what agents are thinking about.
Of course.
Because when you look at the salaries, that left tackle is making a lot more money. That's the second highest paid position on that. But when you look on that offense, and that's other than the quarterback, I get it. I'm with you. I want you to put him somewhere and let him stay there so he can feel comfortable. Because you get an off season, you know where you're going to be. Just make it known where he's going to be. It's got to be hard inside. Stuff comes your way. He's so great. I mean, you got two people on the side of you it makes you feel comfortable. On the outside, it's an island. You got a guy that comes up the field underneath you with spin moves, all this craziness.
Well, it takes a mindset as well as a skill set.
Yeah,
because you see the great tackles. If a guy puts a move and knocks their hands down, they don't just, oh my God, go to pieces and start grabbing. They almost have like a little, they can do a little spin and come back around and get you. Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff Kyle's going to get with experience, right or left tackle. But, and I think, again, bigger picture, how much better will that offense, will those guys be if you give them Kevin White and Alshon Jeffrey making the defensive? And now all of a sudden your running game is better. There's a whole, everybody comes up with those positions, and Kyle becomes a better tackle because I think they have to respect the run as well, and I think there's just a lot of upside to that offense.
You talked about a name, and I know I start thinking, I'm trying to go in order, And I know everybody, fans, really are thinking about Matt Forte just because of what he's meant to Chicago since 08. But another guy that's been in the league 4 years, missed, 13 games in those 4 years, Alshon Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. The injuries this year were a little glaring that you were wondering and hoping why he's not on the field. When he was on the field, super productive, and you can see he's a difference maker. He's a guy that you could give that number one receiver money to.
He's not going anywhere.
I know he's not going anywhere, but is that just to make it right? I mean, you don't back the Brinks truck up now, do you?
Comments on Monday in the locker room were kind of like, I know that I have to prove myself. He talked about working on those soft tissue issues.
Yeah, I think some of the interesting thing you feel like often on the record, the coaches and people talking about those injuries, and Jared, from playing, just sometimes one builds on another. You kind of tweak an ankle, now you start running. Now you run a little, you favor it, or you do something almost unconsciously. Now I got the other hamstring starting to pull. That's what, in their mind, that's a little of what happened. He had the calf strain, and then sure enough, then along came a groin later, and hamstring. Yeah. I think they realize they are related, and why that's important is that really, I know they are not averse to giving the guy a long term contract. They think this year was the blip, that the last 2 years he didn't miss a game. I don't think he even missed too many snaps the last 2 years. You're talking about not a 1,000-yard receiver, a 1,400-yard receiver. Those guys don't come around 6'3". I love that kid because he was actually, if you ever watch him too, he was a four-time state champion, was on a four-time state champion basketball team. And you watch him catch passes, he knows how to use his body. He's like a power forward rebounding.
Yeah.
And you saw that. He wasn't just somebody who outran everybody to get loose. He knew how to use his body. I mean, he was advanced when he came in the league. And, to give credit to Phil Emery, Phil traded up to get him. Yeah. He knew what that kid could be. Now, I do think that the Bears are not as scared off about the injury thing because they think one injury kind of dominoing into another and kind of hurting. And we've all done that. I think hurt something, and then we hurt something else because of it.
We live in Chicago, Moon. This happens to Derrick Rose. People don't want to talk about it. I mean, that's what happened to him. I mean, that's what's happened. I mean, one thing starts to hurt, and then it affects something else. Your gait gets all messed up when injuries start to come in because you're trying to compensate for another side. That's what it's all about. So I get it. It makes sense. I actually wasn't looking at it that way, so I'm glad you brought it up.
Well, I think in the injury, it took me from a 10-second 100 meters to 10 minutes. Injuries will do that to us. That was a joke. That was really funny, actually. No, but I do think, in fairness to Alshon Jeffrey, I think, you'd learn they put a tremendous emphasis in this organization on the nutrition. I mean, everybody talks about it. They've actually hired and put the people in place to make it happen, and I think a year of working with Alshon Jeffrey, I think I'd be shocked if he isn't back putting up some numbers. And he's a physical receiver. Those guys, he's not one of the little skinny guys. Not picking on Marquise Wilson, but that's kind of a wispy guy. Alshon Jeffrey's not one of those guys.
Now, on the defensive side of the ball, we've heard Eddie Goldman's name.
Love the guy.
A lot. Everybody talked about the improvement he's made this season. Moving forward, is he going to be someone in the middle of that defense that you feel like can make an impact?
It's interesting. He's a quiet personality, which is not what you expect out of Florida State. No offense, Seminoles, but he had some conditioning problems early, and what impresses me about a young guy like that, lights go on, and I think he realized, okay, I'm at the NFL level, I need to be better, and he got better and better and better. Without being all full of himself. And I still remember back in training camp, Matt Slauson, I said, just because sometimes you want to find out from those guys what's a defensive lineman look like. And he kind of looked at me, he shook his head. Man, usually when you get a rookie in a drill, a pass pro drill, you get a rookie, I can take this okay, I got an easy rep here. I said, we're all kind of trying to get out of line so we don't have to face the guy. He was kidding, but Eddie Goldman was impressing a guy like Matt Slauson right from the get-go. And I think Eddie Goldman is absolutely – I don't know where, if he's a Vince Wilfork type or Casey Hampton, but that's what you want. And 3-4, he's one of the guys I really cited as a building block, and maybe even more than Adrian Amos, because that's a position – if you're not stout there, you're not stout. So that's where it starts, and then you start filling in behind those guys. You got to get more pass rushers. But Eddie Goldman had 4.5 sacks as a jumbo. That's not, heck, I'll take 4.5 out of my nose tackle.
Well, let's go back to – Adrian Amos. Let's go back to the safety position.
You loved him for the first 7 to 8 games, and then
you know I love the fact of what everybody said about him coming out of college that he couldn't do, and then I saw him do. Oh, he can't hit. Well, I saw him hit, and I know how hard it is to be thrown in the fire and have to be able to make plays. But I mean, Moon, Sean, you guys both know this. I mean, Mike Brown. I mean, this is. The safety position for the Bears has been a revolving door. There's been no consistency for years.
That was weirdly inconsistent. You bring that because remember Al Afalava, just to pick a name?
Yeah.
He was a 16-game starter as a rookie and then I think gone the next year.
Gone the next year.
I mean, it wasn't like he came up and then went down. It was like here and then he went down, gone. And then, Kevin Payne. I mean, you can go through the names. I think you were back there. I looked back there. You were back there. Well, Sean, you were back there. Wait, my phone's ringing. They want me to go back there now.
108 tackles.
Yeah. Now, the
78
negative,
solos.
The negative, though, is no picks.
I know.
You got to get out of here. Now, he's not, you know, we got spoiled once upon a time with Mark Carrier, who comes in and gets 10 as a rookie.
Right.
But more to the big picture, he was also playing center field behind McMichael, Dent, and Hampton. You know, yeah. I think we each had 5, and that begins picking up some. He was fielding punts back there.
You know, I mean, everybody was. Steve McMichael made everybody better, man. Don't get enough credit. But Mongo, we love you out there. You look at that defense, and coming into the year, I'm really close friends with Clint Hurt. So. You know, just asking him questions of how things are going to change and, you know, just thinking about the guys that he had in his room. And I remember being out at camp one day, and I think, Moon, you weren't too far from me, and we were watching these individual drills, and I'm sitting down on one knee, and I'm trying to figure out how it's going to work out with Willie Young. Like, how is this going to work? I'm watching him drop back in coverage, and I'm like,
that's an unnatural act for that young man.
It's not a natural act, but to see how he progressed as the season went on for a guy that there was a lot of talk that didn't want to be here, didn't want to be in this defense, wanted to go somewhere else, get back to what he's used to. He bought into the system, which I have to say has to do with coaching as well, because you have to believe in somebody to say, this might not be what you're used to, but if you go with it, you can be good. And you look at him and Lamar Houston, and as the season went on, two guys that were different difference makers on that defense that bought into something and became big parts of starting to see the movement of how this defense could be when you got guys that can play.
And they put up those numbers, those two in particular, almost without playing the first half. Remember, there'd be one game like four, Willie get 4 snaps and Houston got 7. I mean, they just weren't even being used.
Well, let's not forget, too, two guys that were coming off of injury as well.
Yeah.
An Achilles injury, which you don't see. You never know how a guy is going to come back from that. You're not being – how do you trust everything when you're push-off? And I thought there was a lot of questions there, and they answered some of those questions.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard to see. Lamar Houston had a terrific comeback. The only problem there is his number, his cap number.
Cap
I think
number,
he's
yeah.
like maybe 7. It's getting high, and unless you're a starter, that's a lot of money for a situational player. So whereas Willie's is considered, you know, it's lower. I think they'll have to do something to keep Lamar Houston around. But you know, mentioned McMichael, but again, for the bigger picture, what they need the pass rusher who's going to make Adrian Amos better, who's going to make Kyle Fuller better. You know, if you can't get to the quarterback, you know, 60 or 70% of the game is played in nickel already. And I think that's the hard thing with that is, as attractive as some of the names might be in free agency, that's major money.
Yeah.
You know, you don't pick up Von Miller, for instance, if they forget to put the tag on him the way Baltimore or the way they did with
Mayfield.
I'm thinking of Elvis Dumervil. Remember, they kind of forgot to. It's like they forgot to do whatever, and he escaped. Well, I think John Fox will fly the plane out to get him.
Yeah.
But those guys are too. I won't say they're too expensive because you can't overpay for a guy that good. But in looking ahead, I think that's the guy with the 11th pick of the draft. Maybe, or you've got a couple extra picks. Maybe, whatever, in that top 10 area. That's where your pass rusher is going to come from. That's where Von Miller came from. That's where Julius Peppers came from. J.J. Watt was 11. So they're there if you're scouting and to the bigger picture of, I think Ryan Pace did it and his staff did a terrific job. You were talking about Eddie Goldman, Adrian Amos, Jeremy Langford. What do those guys have in common? They're all draft choices this year. And that's how you start turning an organization around. And I think Chicago and certainly the player himself, a little bit cheated not to see Kevin White. I mean, apparently some of the stuff he was doing in practice, which we can't watch during the season, even as he was coming, you know, that 3-week window where he was allowed to practice, guys were saying every once in a while he just turned it loose. Like, man, what is that kid doing? So he is that. Can you imagine what that would have been for the draft class? What Ryan Pace could have retired the Executive of the Year trophy if Kevin White would have played.
Jay probably want to hit the fast forward button on the season and go to next season if he's seen that in practice.
Oh yeah,
he knows. Along with a healthy Alshon Jeffery, a healthy Eddie Royal in the slot.
Plus they're 6'3", 220 pounds. They're open when they break the huddle.
Yeah.
You know, they're that good, and I think that's what makes everybody. And, you know, those guys also make the defense better. Yeah. It takes some pressure. I think a lot of people were expecting, even under Trestman, the offense will get better, and that means the defense, first of all, doesn't have to be on the field as much. It might be playing from ahead once in a while. That didn't happen often enough. Now, not to absolve, you know, how many first possession drives the Bears allowed touchdowns on, but
just extending those drives, though. I mean, the long ones. I mean, when you're starting at the 20 and being able to go down the field 80 and put that in and kill off that time, that's what you want. Your defense can sit over there and relax a little bit, not be on the field like they were all the time last season. But there's, man, you guys talk about those two receivers. Healthy? Out on the field, Sean, I don't need – Eddie Royal could be there. You know what? You could give me Mark Mariani out there making catches like he did. Can you imagine those four? You'll be okay.
You know, in a four-pack, you know, if Eddie – you know, because Eddie Royal got beat up. We talk about his injuries.
Yeah.
He wasn't supposed to be an every-down starting X or Z, whatever position they were playing him at the time. He got pounded. So, you know, it would be nice to see – if you could give me him and Mariani – Mariani, you're going to almost looking like somebody said to me at the game watching him. It's like, wow, when they get Wes Welker, you know. And to me, Eddie is that kind of player too. That kind of, you can't quite find him in among the tall trees until they get the ball, and now they're making moves. Those guys, you know, and to use the phrase that this coaching staff in Fox uses, and I think Cutler even mentioned it. It appealed to him. Complementary football sounds cliched. Means everybody doing. It means you don't give the offense doesn't give the defense. The other team a short field because of turnovers. You know, the defense gives the ball back to you in good field position. They really get that, and I think some of the draft choices certainly fit in with that. And you mentioned Eddie Goldman. It's still, I can talk a long time about that kid.